adjusted brackets, a loud ball, and an unemployed cap. But above all, tonight's special guest in our hot seat is the funniest man in the industry, comedian, actor, Al Jackson, up next on Sports Weekly.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live, Sports Weekly.
Sports Weekly.
Can we turn it up a little
every
bit?
Every Thursday night. Can we get some volume on our very special
so
guest?
We can catch
got
a vibe.
Non-crunk song.
Okay,
this is soothing.
This is
soothing.
Catch a vibe, Erica.
More life. I don't know how to do that. Okay. This is Anderson Paak. I love Anderson Paak.
Yeah.
Good choice, Al.
Okay,
so now let's all go to sleep. And we'll see you next Thursday.
Night.
See you next Thursday. Thanks, guys. Every Thursday night at 7 o'clock, your favorite sports squad, Sports Weekly. I'm Erica Renee Davis. You can find me on Twitter, on Instagram, on InstaStory at Erica Renee D.
What's up, guys? I'm Josh Rodriguez, and I am promoting my podcast on the Anchor app. Below, it says 10-Minute Drill. Go follow us and listen to us every day. It's me, my friend AJ. It's worth the listen.
Hey, guys, I'm Raina. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Raina_LA. And then we have our guest, funniest man in here. Sorry, Josh.
No.
I mean, that's not a...
Josh, you are funny.
You're real funny. What up, everybody? I'm Al. You can find me on Twitter at Raina Ali. it's weird. We had a battle for that spot. She won out. I'm Raina Ali with the exclamation point at the end now. You just find me on Twitter at Al Jackson, on Instagram at Al Jackson IG. We're going to have some fun with my people.
Right.
Let's do it.
And as always, follow all things Black Hollywood Live on blackhollywoodlive.com. Follow us on Twitter at BHL Online. Follow us on Instagram at BHL Sports Week Link Live Chat. Y'all
live
keep
chat popping.
Talk to Raina.
Live chat. Make sure y'all get in the live chat and make sure you have questions for Al. He's a comedian. He's an actor.
Yep.
He's going to jump in the conversation with us. But before he jumps in the debate with us, we're going to get to know a little bit about you. We've seen you on Comedy Central. We've seen you on True TV. We've seen you on FX. You're getting ready to go on tour in Denver and Australia. How did you get started with your fantastic comedy career?
Man, I know that was... It's weird to have somebody... I never thought about it like that. It's been really good. It's been a lot of fun. I got started in a weird way. I used to teach middle school down in Miami. I taught 7th grade for 5 years.
What?
That kind of jump-started the comedy career. I swear to God.
That is not what I was doing.
That's so funny to me already.
For 5 years.
I just like, pictured like teaching a bunch of like little kids with like a pit bull.
Yeah. So yeah, that kind of got started. My first jokes were about being a middle school teacher, and from there, it just went.
Miami.
Yeah.
So what are the middle schoolers like in Miami? Are they well-behaved? Are they
baby's
kids?
They were super loose down there.
I've never
had a group of kids that like, because middle school is that weird age where they're trying to test you, so you always have that middle ground. And just like every day, like somebody's crying, somebody punched somebody. So you're like a babysitter. Like you're like a cop, but with not a gun. You just basically just like, please stop, sit. Sit. I threw a highlighter at a kid once.
Oh my! God.
I did. I missed. But,
did you?
Yeah, he got up a couple times.
He got up a couple times.
Yeah, I had to show him who's boss. No, I loved it. I still miss my kids. I don't miss the paperwork and all stuff that goes into it. But teaching middle school was the best job I ever had.
So why did you quit then?
Right.
Comedy paid way more.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah, it paid more. And I love performing. I love traveling. I still like did 30 cities last year, and I still just want to get back out there. I just love it.
So was there ever a time when you were stand up, you're doing, you know, comedy, and then was your kid's parents in the stands and like watching you?
That's how I first got found out. Is this kid came up to me, he goes, Mr. Jackson, my mom said you were making fun of us last night. That's what he said to my
face.
What did
you say?
I was like, your mom don't know what she said. Like, I'm not gonna verify that in court. I'm not giving up any info. But it was fun. And I mean, I didn't really make fun of my kids. I just talked about like what really went down. Because what happens in a middle school classroom is, I feel like, crazier than just most jokes you would make up.
Yeah.
Like my kids were wild. I my favorite story that was 100% true is there was a kid in my class that for Black History Month, he did a report on the Wright brothers because they thought that they were two black guys.
Oh, wow. How do you think that?
He just saw brothers and really, I swear to God, on my grandmother's life, God rest her soul, I swear to God, it was the greatest thing. And he started reading it, And this kid in the back of my class goes, "They're white, you dummy." He yelled it. And it was so funny, but I got to keep my shit. So I got to yell at the kid that called him a dummy, even though I was like, I felt what it was like he was thinking. Because we were just all sitting there like, does he know that they're white? But like, I was just, I wasn't going to shit on his dream. I'm like, you know. Oh, excuse me. Is there a language thing here?
We still got the shit here.
All right, they're okay, cool. Yeah, so, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Okay.
That is
super real.
And so, AJ, how would you describe your comedy style? And what sets you apart from other comedians?
Mm. Oh, I don't know. I just always try and make everything that I do super personable, super personal and recent. Mm. You know, because I think that you can fall into a trap where sometimes you're like, jokes work, so you keep doing them, and then you realize, like, I'm not the same person I was 4 years ago when I wrote these jokes. So I like to kind of write jokes just as my life is going along. So, you know, I flew to Japan to do a USO tour last year, so I'm doing jokes about flying to Japan and things like that, you know, just to kind of keep current and, you know, not let your stuff get stale.
Right.
Who are your biggest influences?
Definitely George Carlin.
Yeah.
It's weird to say that because I remember I had a white stepdad for a little part of my life.
What?
Not a little part, like, obviously my dad was in my life, but my mom remarried a white guy. Back in the early 90s, before it was a hip thing to do. Now it's all diverse and shit. They did that in the late 80s.
Right.
When people didn't know what sushi was yet. They were interracially married. So, yeah, my mom was a gangster for that. But, you know, so there's a white guy at my house. And I remember one time one of my friends found a George Carlin cassette tape that I had been listening to. And he goes, "Whose is this?" Like, and also, I didn't want to tell him that I was listening to a white guy, so I blamed it on my stepdad. I was like, "I don't know who George Carlin is. Why don't you get that out of here?" Yeah, man, I feel bad. But yeah, George Carlin, Chris Rock, definitely my two biggest influences, without a doubt.
Have you seen the Chappelle special yet?
I saw him do an hour a couple weeks ago in New Orleans. He was down there. He did, you know, the whole Chappelle, the show, and then the after party. It was awesome. Mm. Like, he throws a great party. The energy at his events, it's really, I don't know. I feel like it's like one of those things, like the closest thing I'll ever get to like going to like a nurturing, empowering session.
Like a Tony Robbins type thing?
Not even, no. It's just like there's so much joy around his stuff. Like it's a weird, joyful situation. Like people just like being around him.
Yeah.
He's got this weird thing over people. It's cool. Good to see.
Like, was it Charles Manson? Like he's like that, like a
Charles Manson was
like a cult leader. He's like a leader of a cult.
Yeah, just slowly slipping stuff. Like, what if we just killed everybody? Turn the music back up.
And laugh while we're doing it.
I have
not?
A question for you.
Oh, chat room, come on,
Mr. Regman 26. Did you have a talking toilet experience in Japan?
I kind of did. my thing was just when I went to use the public restroom. I don't know who y'all are out there listening, but I don't know what your bucket list and your goals are, but going to the public bathroom in Japan got to be top three.
What?
Really?
So dope.
Why, you get a massage or what?
It just like, first of all, the walls go from the floor to the ceiling, so it's like you in a magician's box. It's all comfortable. There's some Sade playing in there. The seat is warm.
Get out of here.
And then like there's a control panel, and it had 1 through 5, and I'm a man, so I push 5, and a lightsaber of warm water went up my it rang my prostate like a dinner bell. I was like, I'll never be able to have a normal orgasm again. That was it. Like, you know when you immediately have a fetish, like, oh, this is a thing now. All right. And the thing is like, it doesn't stop, so you gotta stop it.
Oh my god.
Every second that ticks by, you know who you really are. You're like, oh, let me wait. 5 Mississippi. Then I'm turning it off. Swear to God.
So you're disgusting.
I hope that answered Mr. Raymond's question.
Yeah, Mr. Raymond, I hope you tune in on that.
Okay. I love that. Before we jump into the rest of the show, tell everyone about your upcoming tours.
You can catch me next weekend at the Denver Improv, 6 shows, the 30th through the 2nd. I'll be in Detroit, Michigan, April 15th and 14th and 15th. And after that, I will be in Australia. For all of June, June 5th through the 18th. Check out my website. All the dates and all the shows are up there. All
right.
And just to give you guys a little bit of context, AJ's from Ohio, so you're a Cavs fan.
Cavs all day.
Browns.
Cried tears of joy when they won.
You sit next to a Warriors fan right now.
Right.
Oh, man, what a game. I feel like everybody in Cleveland willed that shot in. Like, mentally... willed that ball into the back. I was like, he has to make that. I was like, my whole life, I wish it should not mean this much to me. I am aware that this is not okay. but I need you to make this three. We'll figure everything out later. Yeah, I need, man, that was the best game ever. Two great, I mean, the, you know, the with the Cavs and the Indians, like two really great final games. The Indians played like, that was like a game seven, extra innings, rain delay, tied. Cubs hadn't won in 100 years. Indians hadn't won in 60. I mean, it's just like, if you wrote that and try to give it around town as a script, they'd be like, come on, dog.
Yeah.
You know, it's just too on the nose.
That rain delay killed y'all, though.
I know.
It killed y'all. That was it for y'all.
I know. I was still so happy about the Cavs, and I'm just like.
You didn't care.
I'm still walking around just like, just talking. Talking to anybody who wants to hear it. World champs over here, buddy.
Oh, that's right. God. Tell her. Tell us Warriors fan over
there. Okay, she's a Warrior hater.
I'm a Warrior. I hate the Warriors.
I just, it's so fun to meet all these new Warrior fans. I never saw y'all.
Thank you,
never,
AJ.
Never saw thank y'all. Now it's everywhere.
Raina.
So I went to school up in the Bay.
Okay.
I grew up here, but I went to school up in the Bay. So for 4 years. So I've go to a few Warriors games. That's when I started to, you know, support.
What era Warriors were you guys?
When Steph's.
Yep.
Oh gosh, I graduated in 2012. So his rookie season, I think, was there.
So when he went Monta Ellis.
Yeah, when Monte was there, I went to Warriors games. With Monte. I liked Monte.
Yeah.
But yeah, now they're good, and you know, I call myself a Warriors fan.
Because she's a Laker fan, too.
Oh, okay.
But Warriors, so. But I always get dragged by Erica.
Because I say you can't have two teams in the same conference and same division.
Like right now, the Lakers aren't going to the playoffs, so
They balance each other out into one normal team.
Basically.
I like that. All right, guys.
She's a Grizzlies fan, by
right, exactly.
I'm not a Grizzlies fan.
By the math.
Speaking of NBA, to rest or not to rest, guys. Charles Barkley, I want to hear what the chat room has to say about this. Charles Barkley says that fans should boycott the NBA over players resting. And Karl Malone says it's called playing, not working. So do we agree that teams, or do we disagree that teams should or should not rest players?
When do you start becoming an old man?
Mm.
I think when you start saying stuff like this, where it's like, you kids should be, it's like, that's not how the game is played anymore. These guys are trying to maximize their money.
Yep.
And they figure if they take a couple games off throughout the year, they can really save their knees. It sucks for whoever goes to that game, but that's kind of what it is. Maybe they can. I think they should try to make sure it's not on like NBC, you know, nationally televised games. But if you can miss a Bucks Grizzlies game in the middle of the season,
but see, that's not what's happening though lately. Like it's been premiered. It's been
showcased.
8 o'clock Saturday night primetime games. You got Lil Jon doing the intro for, and then LeBron doesn't even show up for the game.
Right.
And it's like people are spending their life savings, which they shouldn't be, but y'all are spending your life savings to go to these games to see LeBron play at Saturday night at 8 o'clock against the Clippers or the Warriors versus Spurs, the top two teams in the NBA, and then the stars don't play. So I think that's problematic. Now, you know, these kids, when they were kids, they play AAU, they play organized ball in high school, middle school, they play 82 game seasons, they play college, then they play playoffs. I get they're worn out, but I feel like there needs to be a method to allowing fans and networks to know at least a week in advance so people can make alternative plans. That's just what I think.
Well, it's a problem because nowadays, you know, you get fired if you're a coach if you don't win the championship, if you don't make the finals. So these coaches are looking out for themselves as well. You know, you want to rest your star players so you can get to the championship, so you can get to the finals and win it. I mean, let's be honest. If Steve Kerr loses in the Western Conference Finals this year, he's probably on the hook over the summer. I'm not saying he's going to get fired.
You think so?
I'm not saying he's going to get fired, but questions are going to start, you know, blew a 3-1 lead, doesn't get to the finals, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, does Steve Kerr deserve his spot?
Mm.
We saw it with Kevin McHale. He took the Rockets to the Western Conference Finals. He was gone the next year.
Yeah. That was
David Blatt went to the finals with the Cavs and got fired next season.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
30-10, right?
Yeah. So these coaches are looking out for themselves, and then you have the players looking out for their legacies. LeBron knows that the only way he's ever going to catch Jordan, if he can catch Jordan, is to win championships. So there's so much that can't be fixed. It can't be fixed, to be honest with you. The only way you can fix it is if you tell them to sit during their home games. So each team, like, Cleveland sees LeBron 41 times. There's 41 home games.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But they visit Memphis once. You only go to Memphis once.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sit when you go to Memphis. Yeah. Sit when you're home. Because your fans get to see you.
That sounds like an old saying from the South. Look, my grandfather used to tell me, you can only go to Memphis once. Never knew what that meant, but...
there you go. But you get what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't know. I kind of... I don't know if you guys saw what heard what James Harden said. He was just like, I'm a hooper. I'm a hoop. I just play. And I kind of I'm going with that because I feel like I'm gonna agree with Carmelo. If you haven't if he said if you don't have at least 10 years of experience, get your ass to playing. It's not called playing. It's called work. Mm-hmm. Like this is their job. Mm-hmm. And I think rest comes in practice. Mm. I do feel like I don't know if you love the game so much, sitting down and not playing is going to bother you. Like if you see your team getting their ass busted, like you would want to get out there and play. Like I just feel like as a hooper, as someone an athlete, like you love the game so much, you don't want to rest. Like you want to get out there and play and compete. And I think that taking care of your body comes with the job.
Okay.
You know, sometimes you know if you're not feeling well or whatever, you need to rest. Don't go out. I'm sure that they, you know, they went out partying the night before.
But partying is a little bit different than your knees, like, buckling.
But you shouldn't be standing up and dancing and drinking and going out.
You can sit down and drink.
Well, did you hear about, read the article that came out yesterday about the tenderization of the NBA?
Oh, yeah.
And how interesting that was? Yeah. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think that's going to account for a lot of player rest. Like, what they were saying made a lot of sense in that. You know, Tinder girls just come to the hotel and guys aren't going to the club,
right?
You know, till one, then trying to close the deal till three.
True.
And getting 2 hours of sleep. Now it's like 9:30, you know.
Yeah.
You're at the lobby.
Yeah.
I like how you
turned the camera for that one.
Double down on my point, but you said their job is to actually play every day, but their job has become to win a championship. It's not so much more to entertain anymore. You know, they feel the pressure to win a championship to succeed in the playoffs. You know, the job is not what it used to be, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess it's just like the competitiveness in the game, and as an athlete, from my standpoint, I would not want to sit out and not play. Like especially if I see somebody who's scoring 20 points and you know you can drop them, like you know you can stop them. It's like, okay, I need to get out there and help my team out, especially if they're losing too.
But it's kind of like when you have the flu, this is a very bad analogy, but you know when you're sick and you know you're sick and you know you can't go to the gym or you know you can't go to work.
Yeah.
And then you just stay home and you're like, I really want to go do this, but I know I need to take care of myself. If you're LeBron, you played AAU ball, you played, you know, high school ball, you went straight to the league, you've been to the finals almost every year of your career. You play 82 games plus postseason plus finals every year. Like, that's, to me, that doesn't mean he wants to rest because he's not a competitor. It means, hell, I played 100 games every year for the past 20 years.
I'm not saying I don't know their body type. Yeah. Everybody knows their own body, and they know how far they can push themselves. They're athletes. I'm sure they're pushing them to the limit. I'm sure LeBron's like, look, my body is that I cannot play anymore. I need to sit out. Like, I'm sure he said that. I'm sure that's what it is, but I don't know. I'm going to go with like kind of what James Harden said and, you know.
What's the chat room saying?
Nobody's going to boycott, agree with resting NBA teams. NBA teams are resting players to protect them for the playoffs. They need to be 100% healthy. You can root for two teams, Reyna.
No.
Don't listen to that.
Who was that?
Demo.
Oh, damn it, Demo.
Hey, Demo.
Come on, Demo.
And then Mr. Eggman said, B-Wall players got to see Power Rangers this weekend.
Or Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast is right. Before we do Big Deal or Nah, what's your brackets looking like? What's your brackets looking like, son?
Shot.
AJ.
I did not do a bracket this year, and it was like, it was the best thing. I'm just like watching college basketball with no emotional investment. I don't want to root against a place I've never heard of. I'd be like, damn it, Middle Tennessee State. Like, it's like, I can't be yelling at shit I've never heard of.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, I don't know.
I feel you.
I mean, my brackets.
I'm shot. I had Nova winning it all. They lost. I had Wichita State going to Final Four. They lost. I had Iowa State.
They had that game.
They did. He
should have passed it off to the other guy. The white guy was open for three.
And when a white boy is open for three,
you give him the ball.
Yes.
Oh, come on. Right. Mike.
White boys or light skinned guys.
Yeah.
Especially white. You think most black, like, 3-point shooters are usually light skinned?
They're all light skinned. Think about it. If you try to think of the exception, it's the exception. But typically, they're either white or light-skinned black guys. Think about it. Are you just saying
that because of Steph?
No. I'm thinking about some dark-skinned three-point shooters? Chuck Person?
Chuck Person.
That's the first name I thought of.
Who's a dark three-point specialist?
Dark three-point specialist. There has to be some.
There have to be some.
James can shoot three.
Yeah, James Harden.
But y'all, again, if you got to sit here and think about, if you can count them on one hand, they are the exception, not the rule.
Wow.
White boys, light skin guys.
Yeah, you're right.
I wish I could argue that.
You can't.
I'm going to think about that all night and be like, what about What's his name from the Magic? Who's the guy? He just retired. He came straight from high school.
No. Who? Jermaine O'Neal?
No.
Magic just retired?
No. Yeah. He retired like 2 years ago. High school kid.
Who's he drafted?
Odin?
By?
No.
Not Reggie Lewis. What's his name?
See, like I said.
Lefty.
No.
Lefty.
Oh.
Not Fisher.
Think about
the
it.
The guy he killed the Cavs in 2007 when they went to the finals.
No.
3 points. Jameer Nelson Alston.
Google.
Who's Rafer Alston.
No. Who else was chat on that room. Spot? We'll figure it out.
We'll think about that. Maybe
he was on the Magic.
Can help us.
Yeah.
There's Turkey Blue.
High school dude.
Big deal or nah. It is a big deal or nah that my theory probably will hold true throughout the night and for the rest of history. But for now, we're going to do big deal or nah, the part of the show where we talk about these topics are big deal or nah. Westbrook is the very first player to earn a perfect triple-double. Is that a big deal or nah?
No.
You're a hater.
Big deal. How many shots did he take? Like six? He was like 6 for 6, 7 for 7?
Yeah, but I mean... Yeah, but still, it's a perfect triple-double.
Do you think he was aware at that point?
How many turnovers did he have?
That's why he didn't shoot?
How many turnovers
did he have? Oh, no, I don't think he had any, did he?
He didn't have any turnovers.
He didn't?
Yeah, he didn't. It's perfect triple-double.
But it's a big deal for Westbrook because he usually has like 7, 8 turnovers.
Did you see his reaction?
It's the first person ever to do it.
I think it's a big deal. Like, breaking records is a big deal. I mean, you've probably had a few records you broke, huh?
Yeah, right.
It's not a big deal. But I think it's a big deal. But did you guys see his reaction to
it? No, what did
he was just like, wow, really? It was, like, super sarcastic. And I think he knew that he, like, broke it. But I don't know. He's a tough interview. Like,
he's
I don't know if
he's so interesting.
Yeah.
That's one way to put it. Big deal, Al?
It's got to be a big deal because that's the best you can do.
Yeah.
If that's not impressive, then what is?
Like, right.
I definitely give them props to that. Fair. No turnovers is a big deal.
Yeah. That is a big deal.
Yeah, so that's what's up.
USA wins the very first ever World Baseball Classic. They routed Puerto Rico 8-0. Big deal or not? I'm going to say it's a big deal, but I don't care.
Yeah, it's a big deal. World Baseball Classic.
Puerto
first...
Rico!
I know, Puerto Rico. Weba! But, yeah, it's a big deal. The World Baseball Classic, I know the ratings were pretty high.
Were they?
Yeah. Yes.
Great.
Big deal. Charlie would say it's a big deal, too.
It's a huge
deal.
It's the first, World Baseball Classic the USA has won.
Awesome.
I have to go with nah. I just, I'm sorry. I'm glad we won. I didn't even know we were playing.
Thank you.
So they need to publicize. They need to hand out some brochures or something. Tell us some stuff is happening. But I had no idea it was happening.
My Twitter timeline was blowing up.
You got a lot of Puerto Ricans in your timeline?
I do.
That's why.
I'm Puerto Rican, so.
There you go. Well. Okay, big deal or not, Barry Bonds, speaking of baseball, is going back to San Fran as an advisor. His tumultuous checkered past with PEDs, big deal or not? AJ, you looking like you want to jump in on
Man,
that one?
The balls on them to call him an advisor. His autobiography, don't do any of the things I do. Read that. Get to chapter 5 by tonight. Read him to fourth wife. Right. Yeah, I don't know. What is he advising? How to tarnish your legacy for no effing reason. Is that what he's going to be advising? Don't let your head get visibly bigger in front of the camera.
It's a big deal or nah?
I'm going to say nah.
Nah, okay.
Nah.
Brandon,
nah.
I'm going to say no because there's a bunch of steroid users who are in the game right now.
Yes.
Okay. McGuire's a hitting guard.
I'm going to say big deal because I'm going to say this puts him one step closer to kind of cleaning up his image.
Yeah.
I think the further away he gets from that checkered past and the more teams bring him on board in, roles that are important, makes us kind of forget that he used to be a waterhead.
Oh, I'm not going
to
forget.
I'll forget. I'll forget.
Yeah, I saw like a replay on ESPN2 of like the 1998 Home Run Derby.
Yeah.
Mm.
And those guys are jacked. Like, to look at it now, and, like, everybody's on steroids, but they were openly on steroids. Like, it's like everybody is swole up.
Yeah.
And you're like, and you see baseball players now, you're like, damn. This dude's putting on 22 pounds of muscle on the offseason. Like, yeah, I'm really watching my diet. Did you?
Right.
Did you?
What's chat room say? Chat room doesn't even care.
Gamer Girl said she actually watched it. Mr. Regman 26 said, big deal, I think.
About what? Barry
About
or
the,
World Baseball?
I believe it's.
He didn't even specify.
Didn't specify.
There you go. It was baseball.
But
no
it was baseball.
Cares.
I know for sure it was baseball.
our viewers hate baseball.
Yeah.
Do they really?
Yeah.
As does the panel.
All right.
Except for one.
Except for Charlie.
Charlie always talks baseball.
Yeah. We love baseball, secretly.
I could watch it.
Yeah.
How many games do you go to a year?
Zero.
I went to one last season.
Okay.
How about you?
So I went to two. They were fun. They were good games.
They're fun.
I don't know. I just never think, let me go to a baseball game today.
You know, like, it's got to be like. The Dodgers game or the Angels?
I went to Dodgers both times, yeah.
Okay.
Dodger games are different. I mean, I grew up in the Bronx. Going to Yankee games, like, being a bleacher creature was fun. Because you chant stuff.
I like that. That's cute. Bleacher creature's really cute.
We have the roll call at the beginning of the game. We do chants. It's different.
I like that.
Dodger game, you just kind of chill. And melt in the
sun. And drink beer. Dodger dogs.
Yes.
Speaking of Dodger dogs, let's talk about some food. Blue Apron. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient recipe delivery service in the country. If you haven't heard of Blue Apron, here's your time to have your fun in the sun, because this is what you need to be ordering to feed yourself and to feed your family. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking affordable and super accessible. And right now they have some really cool featured upcoming meals. One of them is salmon piccata with orzo and broccoli, pork chops and miso butter, which is my favorite, with bok choy and marinated apple. Does that sound good to you, Al?
I love it. Bring it on.
That's right. And then another one of their featured meals is spicy shrimp, coconut curry with cabbage and rice. And the way that Blue Apron impacts your household is that it makes you not have to spend a lot of money at high-end grocery stores. Right. It makes you not have to spend so much money shopping for your family. You can actually feed each person for $10 or less. So super affordable.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Like, and healthy. And summer's healthy. Coming soon, guys.
Got to get your bodies summer 17 That's ready. True. So, guys, it's affordable. You have variety. It's flexible. And, it's super, super easy. All of us have done it, except for Al. But he's going to do it after.
I'm all over this. Let me know.
So this is how you get your Blue Apron meals. You go to check out this week's menu. You get your first three meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/BHL Weekly. Okay, guys? So it's blueapron.com/BHL Weekly. You get your first three meals for free with free shipping.
Nice.
That's pretty good.
That's a really good
deal. Go get it.
Now, this is probably the show where we talk about whether it's fair, foul, or fair call it.
You've been waiting to throw that paper for like the last couple sentences. She's been practicing. I get to throw it soon. Yeah, so it was a good throw.
She's been practicing.
Good.
Yeah. Kaepernick is still not signed to an NFL team. It says fair, foul, or can't call. If you disagree with me, everyone's going to get cursed out. Someone go, please.
Foul.
Super foul.
Foul. So yes, foul. And I'm saying that as a person who doesn't like Kaepernick as a quarterback.
Yeah.
That's foul. It's foul. Because there's so many backup quarterbacks who are terrible.
Right.
Like, awful.
McCown's
one, and then you have Broncos who have Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian.
Yes,
Osweiler's terrible. Yeah. I mean, just think of your backup quarterback. Kaepernick is better than your backup quarterback.
Right, absolutely.
So it's
so
ridiculous.
You know what it is. I mean,
personal.
It's like, I feel like, I feel like the same thing happened to Chad Johnson at the end of his career.
That's right.
Like, you telling me Chad Johnson couldn't have been a third receiver on somebody's team?
Thank you.
Like, he still looked like he can play.
Right.
You know? It's just like, it's the same with T.O. Like, once they kind of, I think there's a closed-door meeting, they're just like, we want this guy out of our league, and then guys just go away.
People hate him. Well, conservatives hate him.
They can't stand him.
You see what Trump said about him?
Yeah, and then Trump, will say, it's interesting, though. I don't give Trump credit for anything, for nothing. Like, he doesn't get credit for the shit in my ass. However, he did say
it's another old Southern saying.
Right. But he did say that he feels like his influence is making him not get signed. And I kind of do feel like Trump's divided America. I mean, now, granted, now, listen, Trump, you don't get this much credit. But I do believe that people have a broader, more open platform to express their prejudices. So whereas maybe a year and a half ago, an owner might be more willing to sign Kaepernick, but now it's like, I can be an open Klansman now. I don't have to sign him.
Mm-hmm. I think it's an open Klansman thing. I just think a majority of owners are conservatives. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, they're just white, older
billionaires.
Men. And it just is what it is. Like, I know Woody Johnson, the owner of the Jets. The Jets need a quarterback, but Woody Johnson literally helped Trump with his campaign, so he's not going to sign Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, it's a thing. Yeah,
John Elway. I know he's a Republican. He's a conservative, and I think a lot of them are like that. I don't even know of a liberal who owns a team in any.
Mark
sport.
Cuban,
he's the only one, but he's a younger.
Yeah,
he's younger.
Yeah,
and he's tech. He's a tech guy.
He's
so
yeah, and he's got that made his own money. It seems like a lot of these guys are like come from family money, like the old owners.
Right.
I don't know. Like, Mark Cuban made his money. He was a regular dude.
Yeah. So,
you know,
I mean,
think it's different when you make your money like that.
Would you chalk it up to prejudice, though, or just not wanting that message on your team?
I wouldn't say it's...
Because I wouldn't say everyone who disagrees with Kaepernick is prejudiced. I just think some people take the symbol of the flag too seriously.
I think... I got in a Facebook argument. It might still be going on right now.
On Facebook? An argument?
Isn't that shocking? Can you do that?
What?
Me? Facebook argument? Me? No, because... a lot of people want to talk about the flag being, you know, a symbol of veterans and a symbol of, oh, I come from a military family. Right. My family fought for this flag. I'm like, I'm the descendant of slaves. So my ancestors built this country. Forget that your dad fought in Vietnam and that your granddad fought in World War II. My forefathers built this country with their bare hands and their blood and their sweat and their tears. So I don't want to hear about your white tears and your granddaddy fighting in Vietnam, because I can take it so many more generations back. So I'm not saying that we all don't have a right to respect the flag, but Colin Kaepernick, no matter how biracial you think he is black. He gets pulled over. He's black. He's the descendant of slaves. Right. And he has the right to say, I dislike the direction that our country's going, the country that my forefathers built. Point blank, period.
Yeah, I can't believe the outrage that's directed towards him. Yeah. It blows my mind. I could understand how you disagree with something, but right. just to hate the guy for what? That?
Just, I'm like, where are all the free speech people?
Yeah.
Right. You know, there's so many people that are so, you know, First Amendment, Second Amendment, take away my gun. But it's like, well, this guy's First Amendment right is being violated, you know, with people trying to boycott and not, it's like he should be able to speak. And if he speaks by kneeling, then that's what he does. Right. He's not saying anything. It's like, it's what you interpret from it.
Right.
But yeah, if you just, we're looking at a clear case now where they're just, this is the first guy that ever got fired for his real political opinion. Like, he's not getting another job, which is amazing. Sad. I know Luke McCown is like, how is this happening?
Right.
He must like wake up and get a check, a direct deposit. Like, are they serious? Yeah. Am I on TV right now? Right. This is, the fact that he doesn't have a job is a crime. Mm-hmm.
It's still early.
Chat room saying anything? It's
still
early.
I still want Cap with my Broncos. He's not going to the Pats for sure. Cap has regressed as a player.
He has regressed as a player, but so have 30 other quarterbacks who have contracts.
And this, like, again, I'm going to say this just so you guys know where I'm coming from. I don't like Colin Kaepernick as a quarterback, but from a football standpoint, he's still better than all the backups in the league. You talk about him as a quarterback. He took a team to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And
Four
the next
years
year,
ago.
Took a team to an NFC Championship game and was a possession away from winning that Super Bowl, and then a possession away from winning that NFC Championship game in Seattle during Seattle's prime.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, he obviously has the capabilities to lead a team and do good things. You know, he just needs to be put in the right situation.
Right. Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's kind of crazy to me. Teams like the Jets. I mean, I'm
from the Jaguars.
The Jaguars.
Come on,
Blake
Jaguars.
Bortles. Yeah. I mean, anyone, the Broncos, I mean, you guys need a quarterback.
Gamer Girl says Chiefs don't have a backup, but it's business.
It is business.
Yeah, it's all business.
I don't know if you guys saw that. He's actually still donating money.
Meals on Wheels and the Somalia effort.
And that's another thing. If your football team's in the middle of the country, like Kansas City, you know, a red state,
right?
Are you going to want to piss off your fans? You're not going to want to
piss off your fans. Your football team's in the middle of the country, Kansas, a lot of y'all need Meals on Wheels. A lot of y'all depend on that stuff. So don't even act like y'all not going to the government
line. Have you guys talked about the fact that our president canceled Meals on Wheels? That's the argument you would use to prove to people that you're not a psychopath.
Yeah.
Like, he'd be like, dude, it's not like I canceled Meals on Wheels or something. He did that for real. Right. In real life. Then told another adult to do it, and they were like, all right, cancel it. They drew a line through Meals on Wheels, like... That's a long drive home that day at work.
Unbelievable.
Ooh, man.
The Rams could use him.
The Rams could use him.
Definitely. Give Goff another year.
God.
Just sign Kaepernick to a 1 or 2 year deal. Have Goff develop.
They should. I listen. So we all agree that's foul as hell.
Foul.
Yes. Foul. Last one before we go into, in case you missed it, LeVar Ball. Y'all, LeVar Ball is on one big time. LeVar Ball says that LeBron's kids won't be stars because stars don't raise stars. And he kind of has, you know, he's made his little bullet point list about how, I mean, think about Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson. I mean, of course, LeBron's kids are kids still, but the players that he has cited, he does have somewhat of an argument. And then LeBron was like, keep my kids up. Go ahead, Raina.
I was on his side. I was for LeVar Ball being all about his kids and, you know, saying, giving them, encouragement to be better than Curry, but don't go after somebody else's kids. Like, that's when you should have drawn the line. Like, nobody's talking about, like, you shouldn't bring LeBron's kids. You shouldn't bring them up at all. They're still kids. I don't even know how old his oldest is.
That's something really
nice, too, by the way. I don't know if you've seen footage of his son, but his son's really good.
Yeah.
Of course he is really good.
They're all amazing.
Right.
Like, so. I watched that last UCLA game, and I was just, because I hadn't seen him play in a while. And I just turned it on, and I was like, this guy looks like he's playing his son's friends. Like, that's how good Ball was in that game.
Lonzo's really good.
He was really good. Yeah. Carol's like, wow.
And it doesn't take away from Lonzo, like, being that good. I think he is definitely going league. He's great. But it's, like, him attacking the kids now, like, especially LeBron's kids who are sixth grade. Come on now.
Yeah.
Like, that's when you just need to draw the line.
Yeah, so. LeBron holds the key to a lot of, I'm sure, like, deals and stuff. I mean, it'd just be good to come into the league and be a friend
right?
of LeBron.
Exactly.
And have him looking out. You piss yes. off the most marketable superstar in yes. the history of our game.
You might even right. want to sign with his management company. Like, yeah.
And
really?
He just burned that bridge already.
Yeah, and it's God. Like cause your dad thinks he can beat Michael Jordan one-on-one. It's weird that, you know, these guys, they just seem so used to their dad just commanding so much of the spotlight. It's like, yeah. I don't know. It's, at some point, you're taking it from your kids.
Do you think now he's, like, just picking different things to attack just to continue having his name in the media? Yeah. Because I don't know where yeah. this came up.
Yeah, I do. I didn't. Alex, kind of on your side, I know last week we were talking about LeVar Ball, and we're thinking, you know, he's a good dad. He's trying right. to be a good father. Yeah. But after seeing him on First Take this morning, I don't know if you guys saw it. This dude is all about himself.
Crazy. Yeah.
He's all about himself. I mean, I get the whole, like, confidence in yourself that you can beat Michael Jordan one-on-one, but let's be realistic. And the only person who thinks they can beat Michael Jordan one-on-one in their prime is a psychopath.
It's a crazy person.
Yes.
Or Kobe. Is it Kobe?
Kobe Robinson. Don't get me started with Kobe.
Yeah.
It was, at least you can make a case for Kobe. Kobe's one of the greatest players of all time, but.
Well, okay, so
that's
what we need to do. So Al, would you? Okay, so LeVar's stance is that he wants to be the person to exploit, and I don't think that was his exact word, but his position is that the NCAA is going to exploit his kids. You're going to go to school. You're going to make all this money from my kid. He's like, I birthed this kid. This is my kid. Why should I not jump in front of the story and help him make money and capitalize off of his fame and talent? Before or concurrently with the NCAA.
There's a way to do it, though.
Yeah. First of all, I feel like I would like to hear what his kid wants. Mm. It seems like it's about what he wants.
But when you're a kid, you don't get to make... Listen, we're from the South and Midwest. When you're a child, you don't make any decisions. Your parents make your decisions for you.
Right, but he's from Chino Hills. He's from
okay,
out here.
Okay, you're right. Okay. Right.
You know, the Deep South. That's, yeah, so I don't... You know... I don't know. I just don't like when somebody that has nothing, that doesn't have, like, really any skin in the game is talking like that. Because if win or lose, it's going to come back on his son. It's just, he's putting a lot of pressure on a kid just that's about to start a brand new league with a bunch of enemies in it.
Yep.
So y'all saying foul?
I'm saying foul.
Yeah, it's foul.
Yeah, man.
For sure. He needs to stop.
He does need to stop.
Yeah, and you can just tell. He's, like, got one of those personalities where he's one soundbite away from saying something really offensive.
Yep.
Like, he's that's clearly... True. He's pushing that line, and he's enjoying pushing that line, but he's gonna say something.
Yeah. I was embarrassed for him watching him on First Take. I don't know if you guys saw it, but watch the First Take clip with him and Stephen A. Smith. It's embarrassing.
Chat room. Anything?
Well, they don't like LeVar. Foul, you don't involve children. LeVar is low for that. LeVar needs to keep his name in the media. Who will he go after next? It's one thing when you support your own kids, but leave other people's kids at your mouth. He's living through his sons. That's what
he
I think.
Is. Yep.
That First Take interview with LeVar was a mess. I had to turn it off.
Yep.
He's living through his children. That's how parents get cut off from their kids.
Yes.
Ooh, that's good.
Who was that? Was that Demo?
Yeah.
Gamer Girl says he needs PR and media training. He won't listen, but still. But yeah, that's true.
He's past listening. Like, that guy's, there's something, he's not wired.
He's a narcissist.
Correctly.
Let's revisit this conversation in 3-4 years. Yeah. You said, six narcissist. Okay, I want to revisit this in a few years to see how LeVar's, I guess, PR stunts have either elevated or adversely affected Lonzo's career.
Lonzo's dope.
Well, didn't Serena's their dad kind of backed off?
He was a manager, but he played the background.
Right.
He played the background.
Oh, because we talked about that last week.
Yeah, we did.
But I don't think he was as aggressive.
Nah.
In case you missed it, right now.
In case you missed it, the Lakers are unveiling a dunking Shaq statue tomorrow night.
Dope.
We have a picture of it.
When I saw the picture, like, it's not up yet. It looks like Shaq is hanging.
I was just like,
have you seen it?
I saw a little bit of it.
I saw a picture.
It looked sideways. It wasn't up, right?
Yeah, it wasn't up.
Yeah, that's what it was.
So, yeah. So Lakers are unveiling. I like that a lot.
I like it, too. I love Shaq.
Right. Shaq is... He's an awesome... I wrote on his TV show for 2 years. And he's the dopest dude ever. He's like, when I met him, I was like, please don't be a douche.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because, like, when he looks like he's a cool cat, so you're like, oh, man. And then you meet him, and it's like, he's exactly how you would think he would
be. Nice. Really, like, nice. Super goofy?
Yeah. He just loves being Shaq. And, like, to be that size, like, you know, you can't hide. So every time he goes out, whoever he meets, that's the best day of their life. Oh. And Shaq loves, like, Shaq's picking people up and hugging them. He's like a giant. Yeah. He's a gigantic human being.
What's your best experience? Oh, go ahead, Jimbo in the booth.
Why do you think he pulled out of his match with Big Show at WrestleMania?
I'll ask him. Hopefully we'll work together again. I don't know. I don't know if Shaq wanted that. I don't know if Shaq can get up and down that good anymore. Because we were shooting at his house, and he's got a full gym in his crib. And we needed a scene where he dunked and then took the ball and turned the camera. And he told the EP, he was like, I got three of those.
That's all I got.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Yeah. So that was, but it's, he still looks like he can play. I just guess after a while, just being that big, just can't.
He's huge, though. He has a lot of weight on him.
Yeah. And you just come in for one specialty play. you just check in for one specialty. He's got one more drop step in him.
Do you think he's in better shape than Charles Barkley?
Yes.
Tough, though, y'all. They're both.
Charles has been out the game longer. That's why. That's what I'm
saying. That's a good point.
He's a master of Shaq Fu.
He is a master of Shaq Fu.
Okay. I added this one in, Drake. I mean, you don't love the album, so.
I like if Josh doesn't like it.
You don't like the album?
I just feel like he's always ad-libbing. It's like a beat that's looped, and he's just like randomly singing like this. And then I'll have a hook like this, and repeat it like this, and repeat it like this, and repeat it like this. But then I'll go down like this, and just whip for a little bit. My name is Drake. My name is Drake. And this is how I sing all my songs.
He's ruining it. You're ruining it for everybody.
And the beat is looped. The beat is looped. And then I'll take a random melody and go like this, but then bring it back like this. Bring it back like this, girl. My name is Drake, girl. That's all his songs. That's every single Drake song for the past 5 years.
First of all, I would buy that song. I was like, when you stopped, I was like, man, I was feeling that.
Thank you. Thank
my name is Drake.
I hate that you hate it.
It's just not my type of
music. You think it's formulaic?
No, I just think it's a big ad-lib track. Like, I make music, so when we create a song, I'll have the songwriter go into the booth, and he'll, like, you know, he'll hum melodies just to catch a melody. But I feel like that's what Drake does. Like, he just goes into the booth, and he just sings some random melodies, and then he finds one that sticks. He finds one that sticks. He finds one that sticks. And I just repeat it, and then the last time I just hold it out like this. Every song. It just sounds too random to me. There's no structure to it.
Have you heard it at all, his new album?
I've heard a couple songs. I was like, it's, I don't know. It seems like it's aimed more for the female demographic.
It's true. What does Demo say?
Yeah.
It is. I like it. Josh is a better rapper than Drake.
Yes!
Y'all hate him.
Yes.
That was really good.
Thank you.
Before we tell everyone in the chat room, everyone out there watching tonight, Al, tell everyone again where they can find you on social media, and tell everyone what you have up next on television, on tour, whatever you want to plug.
Cool. You can catch me on the Twitter at Al Jackson, on Instagram at Al Jackson IG, on Snapchat at Fake Al Jackson. You can catch me in Denver. Yeah, I love Snapchat. Catch me in Denver this coming weekend, the 30th through the 2nd. Come on out. I'm in Detroit, Michigan on the 14th and 15th. Those are two separate shows around the city, so come out. All details are on my website. And after that, man, I'll be in Australia. So I'll send y'all love from across the pond.
Will you bring us some chocolate back from Australia, please? Like, seriously, like Tim Tams and Cadbury.
Let me know. I'll be a little chocolate meal for you.
Oh, seriously?
Yes.
Bring it through customs.
I got you.
I'd rather that.
It's so good. Yeah. Oh, I love chocolate, though. Wait, what's your website? Of course I do. What's your website?
My website is aljacksonlive.
aljacksonlive.com. Can you let us know something secretive that no one else knows?
Oh.
Or no, not so much. Okay. I'm supposed to see that good thing out of you.
I drunkenly voted for Trump. No, I'm just kidding. What if the show just ended like that? Like,
I was like, ooh, I'm just about to go in.
There would be no way. I don't care. There's not enough drugs. Okay. Even if you just took my arm and just made me vote for Trump, just like that's like I would still fight it. My body would not let me vote for Trump no matter what. I will not go down.
Demo says, Al, thanks for coming on the show. You're a very talented comedian.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Demo.
We love Demo. He's our favorite. Yes. He and Gamer Girl. Guys, thank you for watching Sports Weekly, your favorite sports squad, every Thursday night at 7 o'clock. I'm Erica Renee Davis. You can find me on Instagram, InstaStory, and on Twitter at Erica Renee D.
I'm Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_. And you can follow my podcast or station on the Anchor app. Download the Anchor app and find us at the number 10 Minute Drill.
And I'm Raina Ale. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Raina_Ale.
One more time for the people real fast. AJ, Twitter.
Al Jackson. Instagram is Al Jackson IG.
Right. And as always, follow all things Black Hollywood Live on blackhollywoodlive.com. Follow us on Twitter at BHL Online. Follow us on Instagram at BHL Sports Weekly. Until next Thursday night at 7, happy March Madness still!
Yes!
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.